Welcome back to Killer Fun, where we explore the intersection of crime and entertainment. I'm Christy.
And I'm Jackie.
And we're so glad that you're back with us. We're back with our another Halloween special. We're continuing our fun look at the story behind the movies and for Halloween week. How fun. Today, I saw this one in the movie theater, and I bet you did too.
I did too.
Scream.
Ah! It's the best one of that era. Can I just say that? I mean, Psycho is amazing. I said that in the last episode, right? But
right.
But Scream is really one of a kind, and it's like the best of that era. And I will tell you, my 14-year-old has declared this the best horror movie of all time.
Oh, really?
This is his favorite horror movie. It might actually be his favorite movie now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because he's been watching a lot of horror movies.
Oh, he has been all month. Oh, yeah. All month. He has been, yeah. I don't know how he sleeps, but yeah. Whatever, man. Exactly. He loves it. And so this movie, though, is really funny. And I mean, we had to go back and rewatch that last scene again.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes. The killer reveal, I should say.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because it's been a long time since I saw it. And I think I saw all the way through maybe 4 in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was always so fun. It was just, I mean, it was the same movie over and over, but it didn't really matter because it was super fun. You knew what to expect. And there was a little bit something different.
A little something different.
And I'm not a big horror movie slasher film fan, but
this was also a bit of a comedy.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so delightful. Mm-hmm. Because the killers themselves, uber hysterical.
Yes.
Like, really funny.
Really funny.
Like I could watch Matthew Lillard in anything all the time.
For sure.
I loved him in Hackers. Hello. Uh-huh.
Yes.
But, like, as a killer, he's so funny.
And this was a much bigger budget than Hackers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah. So, let's do the quick IMDb recap of Scream from 1996. A year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a new killer who targets the girl and her friends by using horror films as part of a deadly game.
Nice.
And we did watch the killer reveal in just moments ago. They reference Silence of the Lambs and Psycho.
He even says the line, everybody goes a little mad sometimes, which is, you know, classic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they knew they were poking fun.
Well, that's
at the
thing.
Whole genre, which is
as KJ
super fun.
Would say, it's a little meta, right? But they do. Cause the whole thing is, what's your favorite scary movie?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and then of course at the end where Stu, played by Matthew Lillard, and he's all like, watch a few movies or watch a few movies, take a few notes.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're really honest about how they have incorporated all of it in there. And I think that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin Williamson, the writer, and Wes Craven, the director, watched a few movies and took a few notes.
And made a few movies and made more notes.
That's right. Then they made movies for other people to take notes on.
Yeah.
So Kevin Williamson was inspired by a real set of murders.
Oh, of course he was.
Murder.
What?
Of course he was. So
here I was thinking it was all original.
So he was struggling as a writer, trying to find inspiration, and started watching a documentary about murders in Gainesville, Florida in 1990. And after he watched that documentary is when he hammered out the Scream script.
Wow.
Yes.
How about that?
So it was the Gainesville murders. So it's really only a passing resemblance to Danny Rawling, the Gainesville Ripper.
Okay.
But it was the inspiration. So Danny had a troubled childhood, Danny Rawling. He was born to a very young mother and a father who probably had PTSD from serving in the Korean War. And he was born in 1954. And there was a cycle of abuse, first towards the mother, then towards Danny Rawling and his brother. And so he was in and out of prison. He was in the military for a while and then
That didn't work out.
Then he got married and things seemed to get a little bit better. But then he started the cycle of abuse over again in his own home, as happens.
It does happen.
Far too often. And then they got divorced and he kind of took a turn, had a rough time of it, was known to be both a robber and a rapist. Super fun combination.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly. He got fired from a job in a restaurant and he was so upset that he broke into the home of Julie Grisham, who was 24 years old, and murdered her, her 8-year-old nephew, and her 55-year-old father, Tom. And in something that we would hear about, he bit his victims.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just like weird and creepy. And I think maybe comes up later in a Scream movie, or maybe I'm internalizing that. I don't remember. It's been a while since
a lot of movies and shows where like bite marks were a big thing. And we did a whole thing on this.
Yeah. On Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had to go in and take
a mold of his teeth,
and they didn't let him know it was happening because they were afraid he'd grind his teeth down so they wouldn't match. And
right.
Even though the science behind that is
sus.
It's sus, yes. He basically had this really awful thing that happened. He did these 3 murders, and he just kind of gave up. In 1990, he set up a campsite behind the University of Florida and started killing students.
Whoa, that's like a big, I mean, not that home invasion isn't big, but like that's just a still kind of a leap.
Oh, yeah. Well, he started on August 24th, killed people daily for like 5. He killed a total of 5 over the next 3 days. So from August 24th to August 27th, he killed 5 students and then skipped town. And they were trying to blame another student who was suffering from manic depression.
Okay.
They thought that was the perpetrator. And of course he wasn't. Turns out that by the time they cleared the student, because they had no evidence on him because he didn't do it, Danny Rawling was actually already in jail. He'd held up a Winn-Dixie in Ocala, Florida, and they caught him. So
wow. So this story inspired this movie, Scream.
This story inspired...
I mean, not the story, but like watching the story became a muse, apparently.
Yes, because he wasn't a student.
No.
Whereas in Scream, they were students.
They were students.
But it was students who died, and they were brutal murders, terrible, awful.
Yeah, the stories don't actually seem to match, but I could see like how he's sitting there watching this documentary and all of a sudden got some creative juices flowing about like, you know. That's interesting. And then using the classic ghost face thing.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's a classic, you know, piece of art, really. But I mean, it was like a pretty big thing. And, you know, it made it really, really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a good
movie. It was really scary. I remember when they started selling those masks.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, nope. And then they had the ones with the little pump that you would squeeze and the blood would come down the mask. I was like, no, but do it again. Squeeze the thing again. Squeeze it. Make more blood go across the face. Which makes me sound way bloodthirstier than I am. I'm not bloodthirsty.
You're not bloodthirsty.
This is what I'm trying to say. I'm not bloodthirsty. Once he was in prison, his lawyers tried to insist that he was insane, because why else would he do these awful things?
Oh, well, there you go, that circular logic again.
And the psychiatrist testified that, yes, he did have a severe personality disorder, but he knew the magnitude of his crimes. He was not unaware of how bad things really were.
That's what people don't understand. It's just because you have a mental disorder doesn't mean you are insane.
Right.
That is not the same thing.
Right. And you can be insane and still know what you're doing. And you can be insane and not know what you're doing. Really? But you can have some insanity and still intentionally do bad things.
Right. I mean, it comes down to a lot of issues, you know. For instance, oh my gosh, what if you know that you have a disorder that makes you have breaks from reality? You know what medication you have to take and you just don't take it. There's like kind of a big thing about that because the medication is awful. Nobody wants to take it. It's terrible. Right.
Yeah, it makes you feel like it's dull and fuzzy.
It's really bad. And yeah. So how do you hold people responsible for what they do when they are not able to understand what they're doing, but also knowing that they do understand that they did not take the medication that would have prevented it. There's a lot of issues in there. And autonomy becomes a big course of discussion. So, I mean, it's hard, but you can have psychosis and still know the magnitude of your crimes. You could have psychosis and not really be able to control it and therefore be kind of maybe incompetent to stand trial simply because you don't have the control over it. But just because you have a severe personality disorder doesn't make you, you know, not aware or able to control yourself. Yeah, you're honestly
absolutely complicit if you can understand the magnitude of your crimes.
Yes.
And are capable of mm-hmm. not committing them and choose to do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So find us on the social media. You can find us on Facebook, Killer Fun Podcast, exploring the intersection of crime and entertainment. You can find us on Twitter at Killer Fun Pod, or you can send us an email, killerfunpodcast@gmail.com. Stay tuned right in the next feed. No,
go back.
Stay tuned. We have another episode right behind this one in this feed, continuing our Halloween week coverage, The Shining.
Yes.
Listen to it now or save it for tomorrow.
In our countdown to Halloween.
That's right. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum. Da, da, da.
And I don't know who the killer is. Okay. Sorry. I thought I knew this. Okay, here it is. I didn't highlight it because I'm mean to myself.